Guys, welcome back to my channel. Today I've got Misha Montana, and we are going to be explaining to you basically how to become a content creator, the pros, the cons, the things you need to watch out for, and really, like, some of this stuff you may think, oh yeah, I already know that. Watch the whole video, because I guarantee you we are going to talk about some things that you have not thought of, or maybe aren't doing, even if you've been in the industry for years. So welcome, Misha.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back. This is exciting, this topic. I love this one. So, and these are the questions that I'm sure every person in the adult entertainment industry, whether you're content creating, whether you're an adult performer, director, cameraman, whoever, you get these questions regularly. So I think it's going to be great to address these for everybody and hopefully give some insight on the inside information here.
Oh, yeah. No, I think this will be one of my most popular videos. And I think what causes this is, I know I've read plenty, I'm sure you've read plenty, where you read that, like, article on social media, XYZ influencer makes X amount of dollars per month on OnlyFans. So everyone thinks that, like, oh, they can do that, I can do that too.
Absolutely. And that's, like, the sensationalism of the OnlyFans money really is such a negative thing, because it gives people this false sense of perception into, like, what being a content creator is, and realistically how much you can make. And that's the biggest thing, I think, with, like, content creating, is being realistic. You have to be realistic about this. Like, first and foremost, if you're looking at yourself in the mirror, like, I want to be a content creator, is this realistic for you? Is the schedule going to be realistic? You have to have realistic expectations for what I'm going to make. Where do you think that this money is coming from? Like, do you have the fan base that's going to be supporting that type of income? That, and, you know, celebrities, yeah, are making, like, I think there was an article the other day, Bad Barbie's making $20 million a month the first month she did it, $20 million. But also, where is that coming from? You know, following celebrity status, and then being in the news, and TMZ is reporting on it. Like, as somebody who is potentially switching their career over from whatever it may be, that's a normal 9-to-5, where are you going to be pulling that kind of, you know, clientele from? So, and that's crazy when they do that, you know, yeah, so-and-so made millions in their first month. It's like, well, that person also is an elevated celebrity for some whatever reason. Even, like, the girl that was on the plane, was like, this motherfucker isn't real girl.
Yeah.
And they're like, she should make an OnlyFans, she should make a killing. She also has a cult-like following, potentially, you know? You have to understand, like, where people are getting that from. So it's interesting that people have this, you know, they're like, oh, the OnlyFans money is just so good, I should do it part-time. And it's like, doesn't quite work like that. So I'm excited to get into this, because it's fun.
And I think you're absolutely right. That's what the mistake that most people make is, people have this idea in their head that they're gonna, like you said, you know, take some feet pictures or take some nudes and just post them on OnlyFans, and all of a sudden people are gonna swarm to that and subscribe. And it's like, you can post tons of stuff on OnlyFans, but unless you have a following on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok, if you don't have that following beforehand, no one's going to know that it exists.
No, not at all. How would they know? And that's the, you know, again, being realistic. And I don't know where people think that this is going to come from, just because they see people doing it too, that they think that now they can have the same kind of success. And it's possible, but introduces, like, all new types of challenges. You're dealing with a market that's highly saturated, very competitive, and what are you bringing to the table that someone who's been doing it for a long time doesn't bring? And then again, like, where are you pulling from? And that's what I think the misconception, the biggest one, is, you know, 75% of creators on OnlyFans don't make any money. They have accounts, 75%. And even to be in the top 25% means you're making like a couple hundred bucks a month. And the top 20% of OnlyFans. So, you know, put that into perspective. These people that are making millions a month, very, very small, you know, minority of the population that's even on OnlyFans. So then it's sad to me too, because that's indicative of, you know, you have a lot of people that really wanted to do this, really wanted to make money. And now they potentially, you know, tarnished their entire life and like sabotaged opportunities potentially because they wanted to make a quick buck on OnlyFans. And here's the thing about people that, you know, we can call them civilians that are trying to, you know, transition over into the world of adult. When you put something on the internet, usually the people, who's going to follow you? Usually it's people you know, that follow. If you're advertising, which you have to, you know, to try to be successful, you're advertising on your social medias. Who follows you on socials? Your friends from high school, your coworkers, you know, family members, friends of family. And then now you're really going to expose yourself because you have no other options unless you're working as a faceless creator, which we'll talk about that too. Totally different, you know, kind of a market. And good luck with that. Everyone's like, yeah, that's one of the questions I got. It's like, how can I do this and remain anonymous? And my answer to that is probably the same as yours. And it's don't. Don't do it.
Well, I think the thing that's hysterical to me is I get that question all the time. And, you know, how do I remain anonymous? But the thing is, people really don't think forward a few steps. Because let's say you have no tattoos, no piercings. You think, okay, I'm not going to show my face. I'm completely anonymous, right? Wrong.
Yeah.
Because how many people on the planet have a background like this? Zero, not one. So I don't care how plain Jane your living room is, your bedroom is, whatever room of the house you're filming in is, it is as unique as your fingerprint. And I guarantee you, someone who knows that room is going to see that video and they're going to be like, oh, that's Misha.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's what people think. They're like, oh, I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to do, you know, X, Y, Z. That doesn't work like that. And, you know, again, it goes back to, like, who are you advertising to? What is your clientele going to be pulled from? And that group of people that you're trying to pull clients from, those are the people that know you the most. So, like, if somebody is looking at your video, they're going to recognize your mole, you know, on your thigh, or like all these, you know, like you said, the carpet in your apartment and what's behind you, the decor. Like, and it's, I've never ever heard of anybody being successful in doing it. And also, if you have no face, like, how do you advertise? You know, they're like, oh, I just want to put stuff like, there's another misconception. If I throw something on Pornhub and it gets like 100 million views, then I'm making money off of that. Again, you have to know what you're doing, though, in order to create that kind of viewing and have people look at it. Why would they be looking at that when there are literally millions of other videos to watch online? And what people don't understand, too, about a lot of, you know, the Pornhub stuff is totally different, too, because then you're introducing advertisements, and the views and the revenue that you're generating come from, it's like YouTube, it comes from the more people that watch it, your revenue comes from advertising in a lot of ways. So it's like, there's so many different things that to try to understand, but the route that I think most people are comfortable going, and I say that, like, they shouldn't be as comfortable as they are. I think people are not looking at the long-term consequences, even short-term consequences, just being realistic with their expectations. Because the second you decide that you're going to put adult material on the internet, one, it's permanent, you know, it is on there forever. And there was this weird, OnlyFans created this kind of a weird thing where people don't consider OnlyFans or content creating porn. And it's an odd mindset to be in because it is. It is foreign, but they feel like a false sense of security or protection from, say, doing industry porn that they feel is more accessible because OnlyFans is protected by a paywall. And that's, again, also not true. You know, and I think the majority of, like, even people being doxxed or, like, exposed for doing adult and having issues within their community and their circle of family and friends, it comes from OnlyFans more so than the industry these days, you know, because, again, who is going to follow you? Who's going to pay to see you? Why do they want to see you? It's the guys that had a crush on you in high school. If you don't have an established brand or you have something that makes you unique or stands out or some kind of a celebrity status or a cult following or, you know, something outrageous or infamous, if you are just an average everyday person, which there's nothing wrong with that and being, you know, sexually liberated and wanting to explore, but you are literally potentially sacrificing any other ambition, opportunity, anything that you had going before, you're sacrificing potentially by exposing yourself as being an adult content creator. So I think first and foremost, people have to keep that in mind. Like, is this really something that you are willing to close every other door for?
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. Like you said, a lot of people feel comfortable because behind a paywall. But the thing is, there's ways around that. Like, if someone's viewing your pictures on OnlyFans, they can just screenshot the picture.
Yeah.
And then post it wherever, you know, or even if it's a video. There's 100 programs that will record what's ever on your screen. I mean, tons of my content winds up for free on tube sites that I didn't put there.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just... But, like, the thing is, though, that you mentioned, a lot of people don't understand the negatives. I want to talk about that for a minute. Is, like, once you decide to do porn, your dating, potential dating matches decrease by 80, 90%.
That's true. Like, and that's what people are like, that seems exaggerated. I've seen people, you know, have relationships. It's like, ask anyone who is in sex work. Honestly, just go on Twitter and see some of the threads where you see how mostly men, unfortunately, but women too, how they talk about sex workers, how they view you as a human being. It's not flattering. It's not pleasant. And believe me, they will fuck you. They will have sex with you. They do not want to date you. They don't want to take you home to your family. For the most part, but like you said, I would say 90% is 100% accurate. Like, and that's almost being generous, you know, that you literally close yourself off from 90% of the dating pool by being an adult. And you'll have plenty of dates and lots of, you know, people will be curious about it. They'll be fascinated by you. They'll be intrigued. They'll want to have sex with you. And that's as far as it'll go, you know? And it's unfortunate for a lot of people struggle with that. And that's why a lot of people that their partners are in adult a lot of times too, because then you kind of, you know, you're running out of dating opportunities because people are not as understanding, excuse me, or like-minded. So you end up going into your own pool to date. But that's a really serious thing too, that it seems, you know, people are like, oh, well, I just want to focus on my career and money and I don't need to think about that right now. But it is something to think about and it stays with you permanently. You know, and I think the biggest thing too, like that's something that's, you know, intimate that affects you personally that people don't think about. It's like, you know, your relationship with sex changes also. How you view sex, how intimate you are, and the difference between being intimate with your partner or partners and doing it as a profession, it skews your view on sex a lot. Like, I feel like we, in some ways, become desensitized to a lot of, you know, to intimacy and sex. Like, and there are a lot of people that suffer from intimacy issues because of this kind of a profession. I mean, there are a lot of people that benefit too, but I think there is a lot, you know, to consider is sexual health, like, and then you're having sex potentially, you know, many, many times a week. And do you want to have sex, you know, off camera? It like it just becomes something very complicated, I think, for relationships and even our own sexual health and sexuality too. A lot of times that people don't think about. Not to mention, if you have, you know, family that is going to find out. If the people are like, they'll never find out. They will. Let me tell you from someone who my parents like do not have crazy internet access. They don't socialize. They're very isolated. They still found out. They were, you know, it was a targeted exposure. But like, people will make a point to let other people know what you're doing. And it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So you have to imagine, I tell people all the time that ask me about it, it's you have to imagine the person you would never in a million years wanting you to know that you do porn, having them find out. What would their reaction be like? And are you comfortable with their reaction? You know, you have to consider those things, being isolated from your family, friends that will have different opinions of you now. And I guarantee you know, people that you think that you're secure in your environments, tell people that you create, you know, pornography and that you're a sex worker, and then see how comfortable your female friends are with you being around their husbands or around their children. It's a really nasty, unfortunate thing, but like even, you know, myself, my son is in kindergarten. I've had people with kids the same age be very hesitant, you know, to have them play together. It's sad. It's and they suffer. So that's another thing too. If you have children, they can suffer a lot of consequences, you know, secondhand from our decisions. At school, they get bullied, they get teased. You know, and then God forbid you have any kind of a custody issue with anybody, you will lose those battles. You know, and that's huge too. Like people don't think like, and that's a headline. You know, that I think you see a lot: kids getting kicked out of private schools because their parents do OnlyFans. And there's this is crazy. Some of this stuff, like, but it's real. There are real consequences to what we do, and
Oh,
people.
I saw an article the other day, actually. There was this like really high-end realtor like selling multi-million dollar houses, and she actually was like posing in some of the houses she was selling like on the dining room table or whatever, and somehow they're able to figure out her real name and the house because it, like I said, it's unique as a fingerprint. Her realtor license got revoked for
Which
it
is
for posting nude pics.
crazy. And that's what, like, I mean, there are a lot of situations like that. Teachers are getting exposed a lot. It's like, how do people find you? Because that's the thing, too. Like, that's where I question, who are you advertising to? You know, who, how are you trying to generate your subscribers? Because if these people are able to like figure out your real name, your where your place of work is, and then target you to get you know, terminated from your positions, and then you know, impact your children's lives and schools, and I mean, it seems extreme, and it's not. It's actually
No.
a quite common practice. It's a weird, excuse me, weird thing that people do, but it's something that they do, for whatever reason, whether they feel they're morally superior, you know, they're jealous, whatever it is, like, their belief systems don't align with yours, and so therefore they take it upon themselves to try to affect your life negatively. So it's unfortunate, but that's reality. And that's again one of those things going back to the very first thing when you consider doing these things, realistic. Is it realistic for me? You know, do I have children? Do I have a profession that I've worked very hard, you know, to build that literally could be gone in a second? Is that worth it to you? You know, to sacrifice that, your family, your friends, your privacy, all these things are potentially on the table to be eliminated from your life. And that's why it's a hard emotional and psychological toll that a lot of us have to bear all the time, because people don't understand just how difficult it is to exist as a sex worker, you know, and let alone trying to be a successful one. So, you know, success is like, people are like, how do I make money? How do I be successful? And it's like, baby steps. First of all, like, do you think that you're even, you know, in a position mentally, emotionally, financially to even take that first step into it? There have to be a lot of thought and a lot of questions answered with yourself, you know, and your partners and family and everything else, like to involve other people in your decision making before you make that decision. Like, you know, this is the biggest decision that you can make in your life, you know, next to owning a house or, you know, doing some other things, but I'd say it's the biggest. So you have to really put that into perspective. And you know, and people are like, okay, whatever, yeah, we've been there. I decided that that's all perfect and gravy. I don't care if I lose everything, whatever, let's go. So how do I make money? How do I get in? What's the number one
Yes.
question we get? How do I get into porn? How do
Step one, create a name. Come up with the name.
name?
Do not fucking use your legal name, please,
Okay.
dear God.
Oh God, yeah. Please don't use your legal name. You can, but do not. I would not recommend it. And also, like, you know, using the, what was it, the first name of your pet and your street name generator, you know, maybe stay away from that one also. But do whatever you want to do. Let your freak flag fly, you know. But yeah, definitely. And I think with the naming too, that's something that people have to be cautious of as well. There are these things that exist called copyright and trademarks, and people own, you know, names. Like, for example, if you're going to go buy a name that's trademarked, like if you pick your favorite car company or you pick like Kardashian, good luck with that, you know. Because if you do gain traction, which is the goal, right? You have to think about large picture. If I'm trying to gain, you know, fame and attention and success to ultimately generate wealth by doing this, I need to have a name that's going to be a household name. Do you want it to be one that you're going to have to change? Because that's happened to, I know several people it's happened to where they've been sent cease and desist by attorneys because they started to get popularity with these names that are popular and trademarked. So when you're picking names, you have to be very cautious about, you know, what you're picking and, you know, embodying your brand. And it sounds like it's so simplistic and like kind of ridiculous, but it's not. Like you, that's your name. That name will be attached to you forever. And that's your now new identity that you will absorb. So you have to be considerate when you're thinking about naming yourself. So just some tips on that too. But the name is everything. Everything's in the name.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I will say that you need to pick a normal sounding name, like a first name and a last name. And the main reason for that is even if you're not interested in doing studio porn right now, if you do end up wanting to do studio porn in the future, because you never know, they will require a first and last name that is relatively normal sounding.
Yes, and that's the, and they'll change. I mean, agents will try to, we'll get into the agency part of it, but you know, they'll try to change your name to one, they'll try to change it to own them. Two, they'll change it because it you have to look at, again, realistically, like you have to have a name that people are going to want to spell properly, like when they're searching for you, able to pronounce. And the, you know, the more simplistic your name is, the better in a lot of ways, you know. I think that people kind of go over the top with it, or they try to be unique. You don't have to be. You need to focus on your branding, and your content is what should be selling. Your name will come with it all. You know, if you can successfully manage your content and your brand, and you can skyrocket to success that way, it doesn't matter what your name is if you do it properly. But if you have like long, crazy names with that are foreign, you know, there was a girl, she had like a French, very French name. And I was like, what a stupid thing to do. Because, and she would correct people on, you know, appearances and podcasts, and she ultimately quit the industry. And it was like, you'd have to like re-pronounce her name, or like, you know, and every single person said it differently because they're like, I don't know how to say it. You don't want to be, the worst thing is like being on a podcast that you're trying to promote your brand, and some, the podcaster that's interviewing you butchers your name and you have to correct them, you know, like have a name that you can roll with, you know, that, that you can pronounce. Plus like porn subscribers and clients, they're going to want the easiest name possible to like type into their search bar that they don't have to think about trying to spell, unless they're like a diehard fan. But to get those, they have to find you. So discoverability is extremely important. And then on top of that, go get all the domains.
Go. Yep, I was just going to say that.
Social medias, every single one, whether you use them or not. Instagram and Twitter. Twitter especially, vital to promotion. And so go get all the domains, get the tags for socials, TikToks, all of them. Even if you get kicked off TikTok, like me, I've been kicked off TikTok like 100 times. But, you know, go get them just in case. And then
ideally, you want them all to be the same, though.
You do. You do.
Like, you don't want different ads for every single platform, because no one's going to keep track of that.
No.
So if you want to go with Lily Winter, you need at Lily Winter or at Lily Winter XXX on every single platform.
And that's another thing to consider when you're deciding what your name is. Go look and see on those platforms if those names are available. And then also, like, your domain websites, you know, .com, whatever name, like MishaMontana.com I own. If MishaMontana.com wasn't available, then you probably should reconsider your name potentially if you haven't, you know, gone far enough to the point of no return, I say. Because renaming yourself and rebranding, I feel like it's a death sentence. You know, it's extremely difficult to try to rebrand, especially if, like, well, either way, even if you have a huge brand and tried to rebrand, you know, it's confusing to people. If you're not successful in trying to become more successful and you rename, you lose, you know, anything that you've done before, any traction, any progress. So really stick to the name that you want. But you have to, you know, do all the research for it before, especially with getting your domain for your websites and the social media handles. Definitely need to be consistent. So that's a big thing. Baby step.
Yep. And then next step, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but you need to get traction. You need to start building followers. Number one, do not fucking buy followers. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't care, all these places, oh, we promise real organic following. Well, they're all bots. And the thing is that having bots on your account will actually hinder you in the algorithm.
Absolutely.
Don't do it.
And people like, and there are a lot of people that, there's all these interesting tricks that people do to try to get, because everything's about the following. How do I get a big following? Because that's the key, right? Even some of these things that we've been talking about, you know, where does a lot of this money come from, and like the people's success and their clients come from? Gigantic followings. But there, you know, there's tricks to to making larger followings, and people have figured out a lot of ways to do it. But like I said, don't buy them. That doesn't benefit you, because are those bots paying you? Are they going to be paying for a subscription? They're not. And then when you get hits from Instagram, Twitter, and the social media sites that do bot purges, you dramatically lose your followings. And companies have a software to tell what kind of percentage, your engagement and your following, it's an equation to them. So if you have 500,000 followers and you have 3 likes on a photo, they know that that's a fake following. It doesn't benefit you in any way. It costs you money. It's a scam. Do not fall for it. Organically building your pages is the best way to do it. Also, another thing I would say don't do, and some people might disagree with this, but don't go on to other creators' pages and on their comments start spamming
Oh
your
no.
link. It is so disrespectful. It's
You'll
desperate.
get blocked.
You'll get blocked. And you get blocked by people that you're potentially, could have worked with at some point. We don't like it. Nobody likes it. I haven't seen anybody that's like, yeah, please, unless they're asking you to. Like, there will be engagement posts that, creators with large profiles, which again, they do this to help you out, quote unquote, but they're doing it to boost the post. Because the more that somebody comments and likes a post, the more it's seen. So they're also doing it for their own, exposure and engagement. So it, but if no one's asking you to promote, self-promote, don't do it. What's interesting, yesterday, actually, on this subject, there's this new thing that the girls are doing. I saw yesterday that there was a congressman, George Santos, who's a gay man.
Oh,
And then
yeah,
all of a
I
sudden,
saw.
you see some of these huge content people are saying, yeah, I'm like, no joke, he was subscribing to me. He wasn't. It's like the sensational, but again, so people are trying to sensationalize the fact that this is a headline story. The name comes up because it's trending. Now you get people that are attaching themselves to trending topics with adult subjects, which for marketing creatively, I think it's shady. There's other ways you can do things like appropriately without like burning bridges, but some people are just like all about their money, and that's their choice. And they burn people and make themselves look foolish. That's up to them. There is a right and a wrong way to do things. Like, and some of
Yeah.
it, you can be creative with your marketing, with your promoting, but you also have to realize that if you're trying to like piggyback off of other people, or like then you go on and you're drawing attention away from other creators, it's not something I would recommend doing. People don't like it,
Yeah.
and then you get
Yeah.
blocked by everybody, and then you have no chance of either working with people or having that kind of engagement with their fan base, even if it's like a similar fan base. What you can do, which the old-fashioned way of doing it is commenting. You go and start just commenting something relevant to the topic that a popular creator is talking about. And or retweeting, sharing things, engaging in conversations. It's groundwork, it's grunt work, essentially. But going in and actually having organic engagements with people, they're like, oh, who's this person commenting on this? And then even reaching out to people that are potentially you're interested in working with. There's a right and a wrong way to do that too. So for everybody that's been in our DMs, you don't message us dick pics ever. Ever, first of all. Don't ever send someone a dick pic unsolicited. And then be like, let's hook up for content.
Oh God. Okay.
That's you.
Couple things. Number one, I totally forgot to mention this. Your profile picture on Instagram, on Twitter, on everything needs to include your face. Because I will get people all the time messaging me, hey, do you want to, collabed, you want to shoot content together. And for me, I won't do it. Because I'm like, if you're not even willing to put your face in your profile pic, there's no way you're going to be okay with it on video. Yeah. Or you're going to try revoking the consent after the fact. Or you're going to be bombarding me with messages. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't think it through. Can you please take it down? I don't want that shit on my conscience.
No.
And number two, you need to be posting stuff, like you said, that gets engagement, gets people commenting, gets people liking it. You know, male, female, doesn't matter. Everyone knows what a seductive pic looks like.
Yeah.
Post seductive pics of yourself. Be like, what would you do if you came home and found me like this? Something like that, because it gets people commenting. Mm-hmm. And God, there's one other thing you said. The majority of your feed, especially on Twitter, needs to be of yourself.
Yeah.
If I click on your fucking profile and I scroll through the first 20 tweets and all it is you retweeting other people's crap and I don't even know what you look like,
yeah,
I'm not scrolling anymore.
No. Your pages should be your self-promotion. They should be built completely around you. You know, this is your chance to post your content, your photos, your videos. Like, and the really large creators that are successful in that, their pages are nothing but their work. And that's an interesting thing too, is that people do that differently, because they'll, like, I know you and myself, we share clips of work that we do. Some people will not. They'll tease it completely. They will be like, go to my pages to see more of this. There's, you know, the two ways to do it. I have always found that works just fine for me to do it the way that we do it, and post like small clips of your work to lead people to go to your other platforms to see more of it. I think that those kind of like hard tease where it's like, I'm not going to show my nipples, you have to go to my page, only works for a select group of people, you know, that have that that following already and come from other markets potentially, and they're trying to infiltrate into adult. I think that that works more so for people like that, which again is confusing to people, because they're like, well, how come this girl sells a topless photo for $200 a piece? But then, like, you sell a gangbang video for 20, you know? And it's like, it's totally different, because I'm bringing something to the table that's different than this person. This person also has a different following, background, celebrity status, and where they're drawing their clientele from. If they're, you know, if they were a Disney Channel star, no one's ever seen their nipples. They're definitely going to be excited to see them. So it's different. It's totally different. Like, but again, that's that realist thing. You can't compare yourself to people that are not in the same like market as you, or not in the same, you know, in the same world at all. Like, yeah, I think that's another thing too, to go do, is like research creators that are similar to you, you know? Like, go get, even like look at people's pages, how they structure it. What do they do? People that are going to be competitors, I guess, you know, in some ways, but like potentially people that you work with, you know. Look at their pages to see what they're doing, what makes them successful. So,
sorry. Oh my God. I just had a thought, and this one drives me crazy because I know you've seen people do it. Just my humble opinion, and I think that anyone who does it differently is royally fucking up. If you decide to go down this route, on your @LilySummer page, do not ever post anything political, ever. Any divisive issue, guns, abortion, race, politics, don't fucking touch it. Don't go anywhere near it, because you are now a brand and your brand has no opinion on any of that crap. None.
100%. 100%. There's, when I first started in the industry, and my agent, the first thing said, don't post anything but adult on Twitter. Don't do it. Don't get involved with their drama. Like, lots of people do it. But then you get to a point, you know, there are a lot of, like, when you're established, I think people get, like, jaded and bitter, and they start getting, like, over things. They post a lot more. We post a lot more than people that are new to it. But that is 100% correct. Do not post your political opinions on Twitter, because you are automatically then eliminating potentially 50% of your fan base.
Exactly. No matter what you think, 50% disagrees with you.
Either way. Especially, like, more modern politics is so divisive. Like, you don't want to post anything related to that stuff. You know, it's keep it. The best advice I can, and I'm sure you agree, can say, keep your pages, as tempting as it is to make it more, like, of a personal thing, keep them business. Like, 100%. If you are driving that home, like, you want to be a creator, focus on creating. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, people will like to hear from you and your opinions, and they'll build relationships with you. And, you know, there's certain ways, like, people do things differently, and some people thrive on that. Like, if that's your whole identity, like, if you're going to go, like, there's a girl that does the, like, extreme, like, the guns and, you know, America, like, you know, as a former police officer or military, and, like, you lean into that brand. If you build your brand around that ideology, then that's, you know, a potentially different story. But for most people, definitely leave your personal opinions, everything off of your socials, and just leave them specifically for your brand and for promoting your pages and your work. So,
yeah, I mean, it is nice to show some of your personality, but that can be done via posting pictures with your dog, or you cuddling with your cat, or posting something very positive and uplifting, because people like when people make them feel good. That shit is okay. Debbie Downer, the world is fucked. People ain't on Twitter to hear that shit.
No, well, and that's like that's all Twitter is these days too. It's like there's so much drama and, you know, all these negative things that are happening. Well, one, I mean, in porn world, but, like, in the world in general. So it's like you want to be, and this is another thing with going back to your brand, like, you're representing yourself as your brand. You are your brand. So how you do your hair and makeup and dress and present yourself, all of that goes into your brand. You know, and being a content creator, like having hair, nails, makeup, the outfits, these things done, and understanding too that you're going to be spending, a lot of money to, at the start, especially, you're investing a lot into yourself, like, and you're a living, breathing, walking representation of your brand. It is you. So you have to pour a lot into it too. And that's what I think people don't get too. It's like, I'm just going to, like, you know, be at home with a dildo in my bed creating. And, like, that works for people too. But it's also like you have to have a presentable appearance as well. Especially in industry. You know, if you're going to set with broken nails, you know, you have to have a good appearance. So.
Oh my God. No, what you just said, like, that's something that I see people make the mistake of all the time. When you are posting on Twitter or Instagram or even on TikTok, because we're trying to build your following here, pay attention to your background.
Yeah.
No one wants to watch you masturbating on the bed and you got a huge fucking pile of dirty laundry over here and a bunch of nasty shit over there. Like, whatever room you're filming in, it needs to be clean. It needs to be decluttered. I cannot stress that enough. Because even if someone doesn't comment on it, It is affecting your viewer subconsciously.
It is. Well, that's it. Every single thing that you do, and whether it goes from, you know, your appearance, your look, your outfits, everything has to be taken into consideration of the entire package. Like you said, like clean room. Like, and it seems so simplistic, but it's people, you'd be surprised. Like, people will do things with, like, and then a big thing with video is not having trademarks in your videos. Trademarked music. Do not have music in your video. If you are promoting a video on Instagram, you know, for or promoting whatever to drive to your page, sure, you do the reels. I suggest it. You know, do the whatever popular song is out. If you hate it, whatever. Throw it over a clip. It'll get into the algorithm. But when it comes to adult content, do not have music in your content. It will get removed. And like you're talking about, you know, you're having mass amounts of content deleted or reported, but then also, like, you could be sued for, you know, for having these things in your adult videos. Movies, don't have posters of, like, Cinderella with Disneyland and all these things behind you when you're doing these things. There's a reason why. And people, like, you know, even, you know, a habit, like, I hold my water bottles, you know, like this, if I have the label on, usually I take them off because I don't want the label to be seen. Don't have labels, don't have logos, don't have brands exposed in any of your videos. And, like, as ridiculous as it is, if you've ever worked on a set, you know, I many times get out the black tape and start doing the logo covering. You know, if you have an Adidas logo on your shoe, the big companies really, really pay attention to, like, that much detail. You know, obviously we, you know, here and there, not necessarily the same, but I would recommend it. Better to be cautious than, you know, not. And even, like, you're experiencing some issue with that now. They can go after you for that, for the logos and having them exposed in your videos too. So
yeah,
definitely something to consider. But yeah, trademarked anything. Like, and even, like, shooting in hotels. People think that that's, you know, such a smart thing to do these days. If there's identifiable, you know, pieces of, with names, property, anything that's identifiable, you will have to remove it, you know? And you have to keep in mind too, like, people don't understand, like, what we do is not legal.
But no, I'm glad you mentioned that about, like, the copyright and whatnot, because I learned the thing about music having in the background the hard way. And also the what you're saying about brands and logos and everything else, because we'll talk more about it later, but I'm currently having that issue with OnlyFans where they're flagging stuff for, what I say, commercial activity, yeah, not permitted or some shit.
Which we can only speculate is, I would assume, commercial, like licensing, yeah, and products, and which is unique to, like, and that's another thing with jumping into being a content creator is these days, you know, there's a lot of pushback to our industry and even content creating. There's a lot of, you know, political issues arising and new legalities that are popping up left and right that are aimed at trying to target us and then to eliminate us, you know, potentially too. So
yeah,
they're trying to find all kinds of ways to do that and making it more difficult for us to, you know, to advertise, to promote, even to have platforms. They're pulling, you know, MasterCard, Visa pulling out of Pornhub was a huge, huge thing several years ago. But that's all true. And, like, banking discrimination, you're making all this money, which is wonderful. If you don't have a bank to deposit that into, then, you know, what good is any of this? So there's a lot that goes into it that people just don't think about. That just because something is trendy doesn't mean that it's safe or secure or prosperous in the long term. You have to consider those as real possibilities, that your job could become even more taboo and/or illegal tomorrow, then what do you do? You know, it's like, have you solidified yourself as a large enough brand to do other things? You know, potentially. There's a lot to think about here. It's a lot to unpack. And I think having those thoughtful conversations with people to try to get them to see the whole picture is really important. And then you break down, you know, the nitty-gritty of it. Like, and that's it, even us talking about it. We haven't even scratched the surface, essentially. Like, there's so much that goes into it. You know, you're doing your paperwork. Most people don't know what a 2257 is. And if you don't know, go Google it and learn about it. You know, 2257. Having paperwork for every single thing you do. Listen, content creating is not just like I'm gonna pull someone off of Tinder and have sex with them and then throw it up on a website. That's not what this is. And please don't do that. You know, like there's a reason why there are a lot of regulations in place there to protect you, your content, and everyone else. Like, make sure testing. We are regularly tested for STDs. Pull STD panels every 14 days. And then having your paperwork, verifying legal age is a huge thing. But just IDs in general, getting consent, getting releases. I would even recommend, I think, a thing these days, which, you know, companies do it a lot, but I think that more and more content creators are doing it. Don't get lazy with your content, your paperwork, and then also having videos afterwards, disclaimer videos, like where you're interviewing someone that you worked with about their experience. And it sounds overkill, but these days there's a lot of people that unfortunately regret potentially doing a scene. They didn't like how a scene went, and they're coming back and saying that things happened during the scene. Potentially that they weren't consenting to. So having those videos afterwards too, it just helps. You know, that's why a lot of companies protect themselves from lawsuits that way by having those after shoot interviews where it's like, how did the scene go? Were you under the influence of drugs or alcohol? And they won't give you your check until you complete those videos. So if there is an issue, it needs to be brought to the producer or director or your in that content creating your partner's attention. And you know, again, nobody's a mind reader. If you don't like something, you know, discussing your the things that you're comfortable with doing beforehand, during, after, very important. So there's a lot to it too. And you're not just like going out and just having sex with whoever you want and then like throwing it up on the internet. There's a process to it as well. So
The consent thing, if you are new to this industry or considering it, I cannot stress this enough. This is the single most important part of this video. So, all right. If you are filming with anyone, even if it's just like their hand in the video, you have to get this. So, you need a picture of the front of their ID. You need a picture of the back of their ID. Then you need a picture of their ID next to their face. And this is just a standard 2257 form. This is good for every single website except OnlyFans. I'll put a link to this in the description. Here's the important part. When someone is holding their ID, it cannot be like this, especially on OnlyFans, because this part right here is being covered up by my finger. It's gonna get kicked down, rejected, even if it's covering up like part of their signature or their weight or something is totally irrelevant. It's gonna get kicked out. So it needs to be like this, so you can see the entire ID. And the picture needs to be clear enough so that when you zoom in on it, you can see every single letter, every single symbol. There's no glares. I cannot stress that enough. I'm talking if there is one imperfection,
Yeah,
it's worthless.
they won't take it. Well, and these are important. This is extremely important. I think, you know, everything else like branding, the actual physical part of it, making the money, none of that matters unless you have these things solid. Because it's critically important. It's the most important thing that you can do. Verifying identification, having proper paperwork is the only thing that matters, really. You know, everything else comes. Like, yeah. But, and unfortunately, too, I think that just the influx of content creators, and it's reckless in a lot of the times these days because people don't know. And, you know, it's like, you should know. It's like when you jump into a business, like if you're going to become a banker, did you not research that position? Do you not know what the job entails? And so people try to hide behind this, like, you know, ignorance clause. And it's like, you can't be ignorant in anything, especially if you're trying to be successful in a business. This is a business. It sounds like it's a lot of fun, and it is a lot of fun. There are a lot of positive, you know, wonderful things about this life, but it's also not easy. It's extremely time consuming. And that's what people are like, I want to go from my 9 to 5, or I want to do this as a hobby. It's like, this is not a hobby. I would not. That was the question that I got, was how do you do this part time? Again, you don't, for the most part. It's possible, but like, to make something successful, it's just like owning a business. It is your business. You have to pour everything into it if you want to, you know, gain the most out of it, or at least try to. You know, it's a competitive market, and that's the thing. It's not an easy thing. You have to be willing to devote, you know, it's a 24/7 position, you know, with promoting, branding, advertising, then shooting. Shooting is the smallest amount of time of any of it. And then being able to keep up with the demand of that, understanding what people want to see from you, and diversifying your content when necessary, and, you know, not doing everything necessarily all at once. There's a process to it, like having to figure out what worked for you and what your niche is, and all those things. But the sex part of it is very minimal comparatively to everything else that you have to do. The editing and, you know, everything, you know, the brand building, the website building, all of that stuff is way bigger than that. So, but definitely most important thing ever, paperwork and identification. Go get your 2257.
And this one is really important. This is the OnlyFans consent form. Mm-hmm. Fucking OnlyFans. We'll get into that one in a minute. Because, boy. But OnlyFans will not accept a standard 2257. You have to have this special form. So for OnlyFans, you need a picture of the front of their ID, the back of their ID, a picture of this form, and then you need a picture of this form being held like this, and their ID next to their face, and everything has to be crystal clear.
Yeah.
If you're holding this form like this, and you're covering up any of the text, or like this,
yeah,
it's wrong. So on this OnlyFans consent form, just because a lot of people get confused, in this first box, if you're the uploader, it goes your legal name here, then you're at, then you're at, and then their information in the bottom. That is the correct way to fill that out. A standard 2257 is much more user-friendly,
yeah,
as far as filling it out. But
and that's the interesting thing with OnlyFans, too, cracking down on things was, you know, several years ago, there were people that were like, oh, I'm not filling out paperwork, just tag me on OnlyFans and tag my page. It's like, it doesn't fly. If people are doing that too, and believe me, there are some very large creators that do this, and it's appalling to me that they're as successful as they are, is it's they don't do paperwork. I've had people tell me they don't do paperwork. I'm like, it's like buying a house. I don't sign contracts. You know, it's shocking to me. You know that people, you know, treat this so recklessly. Always do your paperwork, overdo it. You know, it's okay to overdo it. Better to be safe than sorry, because God forbid, if there is ever an issue, which you know, people are like, oh, there's so many people that do it these days, you know, they don't have the capacity to enforce. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say, you know. The question is, like, it's also like, just because, you know, there are a lot of people that don't pay their taxes doesn't mean that you shouldn't either, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things. So it be compliant, you know, contribute to the industry in a positive way, because we're already under so much scrutiny. And then, like, another thing to not do, do not have sex in public with people in the shop behind you. Porn is a fantasy. We understand as creators that we're creating a fantasy. So when you see those kinds of public, you know, type themes, they are staged. You are not really having sex in front of people that were not prepared to see you have sex with yourself or with others or be nude. That is against the law. So you know, you have to understand, like, even in, like, your regions too, like, what's legal, what's not. But, like, definitely exposing yourself and having sex in public, you're risking catching a sex offense. That's a permanent offense. You will be labeled as a sex offender for the rest of your life. So being careful with that stuff, like, as cool and hot as it might seem, and that's the fantasy, then recreate it. There's a reason why you book locations and have actors, even paid non-sex actors. Like, you have to understand that, oh, this is a fantasy. And research these things. That's what, you know, a lot of it, it's like you learn from modeling after people that are successful, that do it correctly. And there's things that, you know, there should be a handbook on these things. Unfortunately, there's not. So you have to be smart with it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you can't OnlyFans, you cannot have poppers visible for even 1/10 of a second.
Yeah.
If that bottle is visible for 1/10 of a second, the AI is going to pick it up. The video will be taken down.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take down anything in public. OnlyFans, you cannot show pissing. You can't show any type of BDSM, anything extreme, any type of fisting, any type of anything.
Yeah.
And also, just to clarify for the people watching, like, what you said, like, yes, if you're shooting, like, how these content creators are able to get by without doing consent is because they're shooting with other big-time content creators, so they just tag each other. The problem with that is, let's say that me and Misha shoot a video together and I don't get her consent, and she's like, oh, just tag me. But then tomorrow her OnlyFans gets banned, or let's say she leaves the industry, or a million other things happen, I can no longer tag her. And even if she does it after the video is already up, they're going to pull it down.
Yes.
So you have to get that. Even if someone is a verified creator on OnlyFans, Just for Fans, anywhere, because, like, for me personally, my OnlyFans, I have probably 300 less videos on OnlyFans than Just for Fans, because they are constantly changing the fucking rules and changing their compliance standards and flagging videos for all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah. And it's like, so why not do it and be safe and have it as a standardized practice? Because that's what the companies do too. They have, or they do it the same. If they're successful, you know, reputable companies, they all do things the same way. There's a reason why. And it's protection mostly of yourself and your content, and therefore, you know, your income. Because, like I said, how many scenes have we shot where people change their mind? People, you know, and then if you, I mean, technically, if you have paperwork on something, you know, read your paperwork too. If you're signing other people's paperwork, always read things, you know, as thoroughly as you can. But it's like, you have to be prepared with your own, you know, processes. You have to have the paperwork and the IDs and everything. It should just be standardized practice across the board, because you don't know. That's something that the federal government comes in and says, you have 500 scenes on your page, where's the verification for this person's age? Whether you know that they're of legal age or not, you have to, it's on you to prove that, you know? So if you have your everything together, it's just like a business. If you have a receipt for something, you save it. You keep these things organized. It's the smartest that you can be with something, because God forbid something were to happen, someone contests it with you. They know that you don't have paperwork on them. You're looking at legal battles. You don't
want to be. Are you?
So, yeah. And it's like, and consent, you know, you have these, there's a lot of issues surrounding consent these days. And it's best to protect yourself in every way possible. So as safe as you can be.
Yeah, no, it's, I cannot stress this consent form enough. Rewind the video if you have to. Yeah. I will leave links to both consent forms in the a comment I'll pin to this video. Download them, print them out,
yes,
and carry them with you. After. And do not trust people to sign the consent after they filmed. You get it before.
Always do things before. You handle all of your paperwork, all the, you know, the nitty gritty stuff that nobody wants to do. You always do it before. Then you can get to the fun stuff and, you know, everything else. But definitely your paperwork has to be in control for sure.
Oh, yeah. And you'll get people all the time who will be like, oh, I forgot my ID at home. Can I just send it to you later? Absolutely not. Go home and get it. I'll wait.
And that's what even like for me, I'll email my IDs to people too. I have them all in a folder. I have my passport, my ID, my socials, my birth certificate. I have it all in a folder on my phone. So just in case that ever were to happen, because if you're on set, if you're on a professional set and you say you don't have your ID, you go home and you won't be welcome back. You have to be on top of these things. Like, and as mundane as they seem, like, and like repetitive, like that's how it is. And that's another thing too, is like, is consistency. I think the biggest success that you find from this business is being consistent, you know, always, not even just with content. I think content consistency is key and crucial, but just being consistent in all of your practices across the board, your posting schedules, being on top of, you know, your paperwork, your reputation, how you interact with people, how you approach people to shoot with you. All these things have to be respectful and consistent. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the questions people submitted, is how to approach other people about content, how not to approach people about shooting content. Don't send dick pics, nude pics, ass pics, pussy pics. You know, hey, do you want to shoot together? Or I'm planning a trip to Vegas next month. I'd love to shoot together. Yeah. That's all you have to say.
As professional as you can be, too. Like, that's what people don't get. This isn't a hookup site. It's not like a dating app. You know, most of us have our own business going on. So it's like, you know, when you approach somebody, it's not like, hey, like, you're hot. Here's my huge dick. Like, I'm great at having sex. Let's make some content. Please don't ever, ever. One, you shouldn't talk like that to anyone anyway. But, like, don't send, especially people that are professional. We don't appreciate it. I don't think anyone appreciates it, that tone. I don't know why people think that that's, like, acceptable. But then again, too, like, when you approach people that way, it shows just how unserious you are about this. And this business, I want to work with people that take it as seriously as it needs to be taken. With testing, when you're working with content creators too, be very, very careful when you're looking at people's tests. A big thing now apparently is that people are faking tests again. This was a thing that happened a long time ago. People are faking tests, photoshopping test results, because they're just showing them on like the phone. And it's like, verify your test results. Especially these days, like, there's so many people creating content, it can get kind of crazy and reckless, and you don't know what people are doing on their off time. Verify test All the time. Absolutely. Even I think verifying your STD results before a shoot and then on the day of as well is
Yeah.
thing to do. Always the day of, make sure that they have a fresh test, and that it's easily accessible to you. Those kind of things are very, very important too, because you don't want to get into that. But and the fact that people, it's like there's an influx of reckless creators because they're just money hungry, and they see how much money you can make, and then they kind of turn into like content monsters. So people are shooting a lot, and then they're like maybe skipping corners here and there on their paperwork, on their STD testing. You want to work with people that are professional. You need to vet people carefully. If you're doing one-on-one interactions with people, make sure that you've at least tried to look into them as much as possible. Let people know where you are when you're shooting. Because even some people with big followings, we don't know what's real and what's not these days. Somebody has a big following. Where did that come from? Is it a real following? You don't know. If they've worked with people that you recognize, maybe reach out to those people to see how that experience was. Because there's a lot of that going on where people just see that someone's worked with someone and assume that it was a pleasant experience. They often find that it wasn't. So, reaching out to people, there are a lot of creators are more than happy to just tell you how their experience was. And again, that's someone's personal experience too. It doesn't mean that that will be the same experience for everyone.
Yeah.
But making sure who you're shooting with and not approaching them in a disrespectful way. If you wanted to, it's anything else. If you wanted a job and you're not going to email your employer and be like, "Yo, what's up, dude? Want to hang out later?" Be like, "Hi, my name is so and so. I'm looking to," and maybe we'll do this too. Like, I'll post like emails that I've written before to people, or like how I approach people, what you should and shouldn't say. It's like you want to be as professional and considerate and respectful as possible. And if somebody doesn't reply to you, don't keep replying to them, like, or bothering them. Let it be a thing. If it's like, if somebody wants to work with you, they will. This is, it's a business, it's their choice, but like, don't also like harass other creators.
Oh my God. And please, dear God, never message someone and say, "Can you please follow me?"
Oh yeah. Oh,
God, I get that
I hate
all
that so much.
the time.
Or shout for shout when they don't
Yeah.
follow you. Like, that's the most annoying. I have like some of these girls have like these huge followings, like a million followers, and they're in the DMs like, "Hey babe, let's do shout for shout." They don't follow me,
Yeah.
and they don't care. It's like, I don't know. There's, again, if that works for you, great. But there's a point where like integrity in what you do, it stands out among how many people are doing these things. Like, they're obviously like, you can go post under and lie under people's post to try to get a few followers, like, or do things like, bug other creators and do this like harassing, kind of mass DMs and totally impersonal and everything else. Just don't do that. Work hard, have integrity. If you put the work in and you're consistent, you will see some kind of a result, Like, there isn't a magic formula for everybody. It's figuring out what works for you. But consistency is key in anything. And like, it's just like diet, everything else. Like, if you're consistent with something, eventually, like, you'll see traction. Is it going to be a million people? Maybe. Maybe not, But building and understanding too that this is not something that happens overnight. You are building a brand from zero, essentially. You start with zero followers on that page of yours. And then how do you creatively and strategically grow yourself and that brand to be successful, to be lucrative. And it's a process. Like, and like everybody wants that quick, simple answer, and there isn't one. It's working hard, being consistent, being respectful, being on top of all these things, and then creating content that's desirable and figuring out what that is for you and what your market is. Building relationships, one of the questions I got was like, how do you approach like other content people like you did, you know, to like how do I work with people, you know, that I want to work with? You don't just jump into it though too and then expect like Angela White to like DM you back and be like, oh, you're shooting content now? Great. Because the thing is too is that there's a huge influx of creators. So like I'm getting DM'd all day. I'm like, who is this? Like, this guy's got 1,000 followers on Twitter. It's just, I've never heard of you. I don't know you, you know, but you're shooting content. It's like, you know, everybody's trying to do this now. So being selective in, I think, like, who you shoot with too, because you can go the route where you're just shooting with anybody and everybody all the time, you know, but is that safe? Is that practical? Does that benefit you in your branding? You know, working with people that it's more difficult to work with larger creators if you're not established, but you know, networking in the proper way is also possible and important too. Like, you know, you don't just jump in and be like, oh, here I am, I'm in the business. Like, now I get to have sex with all the top name performers. Like, it doesn't work that way. Again, realistic. Being realistic. Yeah. So, and building.
Yeah, no, you gotta work your way up. Like, you shoot with this person, which allows you to shoot with this person, which allows you to shoot with this person. And you slowly work your way up. And, you know, you get followers by posting seductive pictures or posting, even if it's written tweets that are just engaging and happy and positive, or, you know, posting like video clips, or, you know, it's just look at other creators and see the type of stuff that they post and mimic what they do. But you also, like you said, you need to find your own brand and your own identity. And one thing I got several questions on is equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that depends on like what you're trying to shoot. I mean, really, like, these days, starting out, it's like, I think the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of people shoot on their phones. The phones are great with the cameras these days. I just say phones, like GoPros, but, like, lighting is a huge thing. Get yourself some ring lights. Get a couple of them. Now they sell them for, like, $30 on Amazon. Having lighting, proper lighting, and then, you know, you can use the phone. It's easy to airdrop content. People like that kind of raw content too, overproduced content. You know, I can't tell you, especially when I first was in it, I was spending thousands of dollars on my outfits and my makeup and my locations and my videographers and, you know, talent and everything. And it's like, then the video of me in my room, you know, sells 100 times more than the overproduced content. It just depends. It depends on what you're doing, you know, too. I think that will determine what kind of equipment you need. Obviously, you can upgrade your equipment as you go. I think, you know, it's great to have good cameras if that's the type of content that you're producing. So, but I think to start, like, people really don't need much, you know, to get going. Also, I think that, too, focusing on you and yourself, and like not being so preoccupied with necessarily shooting with everybody who's ever made it, you know, like at first, like you need to establish you need to have direction. It's not like, okay, I want to do this, I'm going to jump in and start having sex with everybody. That's not how it is. It should be like, this is your brand, take care of the necessary like fundamentals and build your foundation. Start doing your own content, do solo content, do photos, start there. See if it's something that you like, you know. Don't jump into hardcore boy girl and start, because then you're setting the bar for expectation also. Because if you can't fill a demand of you know, you have your subscribers are expecting content from you. If you're shooting a bunch of scenes that are hardcore with multiple people in it, okay, that was this week, what's next week? You know, you have to plan out your content, having a lot of content gathered up before you release it so that, you know, God forbid you get injured or sick or can't shoot. You have that consistency stays the same. So posting regularly on the same days at the same time, that engagement with people, that's all important. And that's all putting the time in. It's not like posting once a week and then leaving and never posting again or interacting with people again. You have to be consistent. This is a full-time, around-the-clock job. I found, like, it's overwhelming to try to answer people 24/7. People think that they're entitled to your time because they pay you $5 a month in subscription. You can set up and establish boundaries where, like, okay, I respond to my DMs Mondays from 10 to 12. You know, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I go live on Fridays at this time. Make a schedule, keep it consistent so you don't get overwhelmed. Have it be regular. Then you kind of train your clients to be on the same kind of a schedule too, so that they don't have unrealistic expectations either. They're not DMing you at 2 o'clock in the morning, like, why aren't you responding to me? You know, also, like, with that, you know, it's kind of, you establish this mindset where it's someone paid me $5 for a subscription or whatever you decide for it to be. Then how you determine pricing and all those other things, you know, you have to figure out what works for you. But don't spend an over amount of time on people that aren't tipping you, that aren't contributing positively, because they will eat up all your attention, all your time for free when that time can be focused on making money, you know, elsewhere. So be polite, but also you need to, you know, engage people and get them to constantly be providing to you as well.
Agreed. Like, me personally, when it comes to equipment, I am personally a bigger fan. And again, like you said, you can get them Amazon super cheap. The ones where it's a bulb and then there's like a little umbrella coming out the castle light. That's what I personally prefer for lighting.
Soft boxes.
And like in my filming room, I have 7 static cameras set up. And the reason I prefer that is because I'm able to just shoot start to stop with no breaks or start to finish. You know, some people may only have 1 camera or 2 cameras, so they're having to constantly get up to adjust.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that works for you, great, but just understand, if you're having to constantly adjust the cameras, if you're shooting with someone who's not, like, a seasoned creator, those breaks are going to be obvious in your partner. It's not going to flow as smoothly. And like you said, a camera, if you're just starting out, like your phone is perfectly fine. If you're looking to invest for something better quality, do not buy a fucking GoPro. Those things will overheat and shut off left and right. Like, even if you put a damp washcloth on them, they'll still overheat and shut off.
The GoPros are not, like, they used to be the go-to, and now it's just, like, they're nothing but issues with GoPros. And having, like, more than, we want to film always on more than one thing. Because, especially if you're, like, just statically putting, like, a camera somewhere, you don't know if it's recording. You don't know if your phone's battery is low or someone calls you or, you know, I think it's changed a little bit now that it doesn't do that so much anymore. But, you know, God forbid, like, run out of storage space. You don't know if you're only, you know, recording off of one device that's static. You know, having multiple devices, definitely different angles, understanding the angles too, and, like, what positions that you need and the amount of time that you want to go, all of those things, you know, which videos, like, work best for you. I think people, like, overshoot it a lot too, where you realize at some point, like, do I need to shoot for an hour and a half? Probably not. You know, you can accomplish things in a shorter period of time. So, but yeah, definitely having more than one camera or device, I think, is definitely important. I like having videographers shoot things. I like that kind of content. If you can do it, you know, or switch it up and do that once in a while, just change it up is good. But, you know, with content creating, I mean, these days you really can just throw up a couple phones and a couple lights and that's that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you are looking for something like mid-grade, And I've owned probably 20, 30 cameras at this point. The Sony ZV-E10, I'll link it down below in the description. The Sony ZV-E10, I highly recommend. It's got amazing picture quality. It can overheat. It's a setting though that you have to adjust. You can YouTube that. However, if you have an unlimited budget,
There's
I would recommend the Sony Lumix S5 2X. It's like $2,400, $2,500, but that thing can shoot like 6K video. You could record for 10 hours without it overheating. It's
There's
insane,
some
but
amazing cameras out there. Like, if you have the sky's the limit on it, then there are really some fabulous cameras that you can get that
yeah.
are like high-end, production quality cameras. But yeah, the little Sony you talked about is a great one. And that's actually a really popular one that YouTubers use. A bunch of even like not, safe for work content creators use as well. So I think that's a great little camera. I have one also. So enjoy that. And that's the thing, like too, like even like some of those little cameras, like I have a very expensive camera. I use the little ones or my phone more. You notice what like your preference is. But there are some people that love their big fancy expensive cameras, and that's what they use. Great. Whatever works for you. It's just figuring out like and your budget, especially to start with. Like you're going to be investing a lot into it and a lot of time. Like, do you need to have a $5,000 camera right off the bat? Not necessarily. So, and don't get overly invested in equipment, I think is the thing too, right
Yeah.
off the bat. Like you'll figure out as you go and you become more seasoned and experienced with it what you need. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing, not the main thing, I think that a mistake a lot of people make is they get so wrapped up in, oh, what equipment do I have to buy? And I want everything to be perfect. And they're overthinking all these things. When realistically, all you have to do is just sit down and create. It is really that simple.
It really is. Like the complications come from the outside things, from promoting, from branding, from selling it, from reaching, new audience, to being creative with your marketing and all of that stuff. And, making sure that the legalities are covered and your paperwork's in order and all of those things, finding people to shoot with. Those are the things that require a lot of time, editing. But like the content creating itself is the most simple part of the entire thing. In my opinion, I think it is, like truly. It's the least time consuming. It takes, in my opinion, the least amount of effort, comparatively to the other things that go into that process. So, don't overthink things or overstress it. And then, again, it's like, with anything that's new, I feel like it just takes time to get used to routines and being comfortable doing this. And, it's a great business if you can be honest and realistic about it and then go forward and, make it into a lucrative and substantial brand and career. But again, all these things have to go into it and you really have to think about what you're doing. And this is sex work. So are you prepared for those consequences? But,
Absolutely. So, and then I guess the next step for a lot of people would be, how do I get into studio porn? I
That's
mean,
probably
me
the
personally,
kind
I
of
found an agent and then, but I
difference.
don't know what you did.
Well, and that's what I think, I would recommend, get an agent. That's like the biggest thing. But these days, I think too, if you start from the content side of it and you create, an undeniable brand and presence, then you can actually, you never used to be able to do this before. But I feel like now, if you are that big of a presence, you can reach out to companies directly And they might even be reaching out to you at this point. So it's that's why brand building is so important. And then people that are like, I just want to shoot content, I don't want to be part of the industry. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but also you can use the industry and the companies to build that brand so that it makes it bigger, so that you get more followers and more, paying subscribers on your premium sites too. It can't hurt, You're exposing yourself to different markets. They're markets that are relevant to you and your brand. So working with companies, you don't have to work with them all the time, but I would definitely suggest working with them once in a while if you have the luxury of doing so. But definitely trying to get an agent. Like, and agencies are look at creators that you like and know to find out who their agents are. They have the processes on all of their websites. So I think it's relatively easy these days to find agencies. Whether it is to get in with them, I think is a different story. But to reach out to them, it's quite simple these days. Like, you can reach them, especially because people advertise their agencies so often. So finding an agent is a huge thing. You can go that route if you're self booking, then you really have to put the groundwork in. Start emailing the companies, DMing the companies. Again, respectfully, don't ever send pictures of yourself nude to any company agent without their requesting of it. And to make sure that who you're messaging are verified people. Like, there's a lot of that catfishing with the companies, with individual creators. We probably have 10,000 pages of us, if it's not verified, and using common sense. Like, it's so frustrating to me when I get these emails, usually daily, of people that are like, I was scammed by somebody that said they were you, and I gave them all this money. And it's like, it's frustrating because it's like, did you really think that that profile with 100 followers was my private page, and I was begging you for thousands of dollars, for whatever reason, and that you decided to send it to an account? Like, there, you have to take personal accountability with a lot of this stuff. Like, just be smart in your decision making. If it seems good to be true, it probably is. If people are reaching out, like, there's a thing with Manuel Ferreras, a big name male performer. He's been in the industry forever. He's a legend. There's a notorious fake profiles of him reaching out and offering like obscene amounts of money to people. And I've had people be like, wow, this is so cool. I got offered $5,000 to do my first anal with Manuel. And I'm like, why would Manuel offer you $5,000 to do your first anal? And then, but I mean, it's dangerous. Dude, you're setting yourself up to be potentially, I mean, in a very dangerous situation. So using common sense, like, this industry can be dangerous, just like anything else. Like, you have to be so vigilant, so careful. Do your research with things. And if things seem too good to be true, they probably are. So, again, being realistic.
And I've also seen a lot of female porn stars tweeting out that, like, women especially need to be careful because they've heard of a lot of women who will get asked to, oh, you need to audition for this role.
Never.
Like, you don't have to audition for any role.
It's casting couch
That
is
there's,
not a real thing.
yeah.
Like, it's not, no. And that's the, you have to be vigilant in your research and even like who you respond to online. Like, some of these companies that say they're companies, they're not. I mean, you don't know what some things are. Like, if it seems legit, it's like, try to use your best judgment. Look it up. Google it, research it, put in the groundwork. If something's unfamiliar to you, if the larger companies aren't messaging you from verified accounts with large followings, they're not real, and if there's ever a question about it, then message the larger accounts and say, like, did this representative contact me on your behalf? That's I wish it's frustrating because people don't use common sense I mean, period, but they really don't use it in this business, especially in a business that can be dangerous, you know? There's a reason why the opponents of porn have the platforms that they do to try to take it down, because they exploit a lot of the unfortunate parts of the industry that do exist. You have to be vigilant with it. But getting into porn, like, there's again, not a magical solution to get in. If you build your brand and you have an undeniable presence, whether it be from the modeling world, from the YouTube world, from, the adult content creating world, from being an Instagram influencer or model or TikTok star or whatever it is that you are bringing, alternative models, finding the niche for you. And then again, you can reach out to other creators. I think that that's difficult to do. People, one, I think a lot of it is like, don't have time. I don't think it's, from a competitive point of view, there are a lot of people that are competitive and they won't give you the time of day and they're just not very nice in general. But like, it's, you have to go after it in the ways that you think are appropriate. And I think going through an agency or directly contacting the companies is the best way to go about it. So definitely agency route would be number one. And if you can't get luck like with an agent, then start reaching out to companies. And if they don't respond, then you just have to keep focusing on brand building. Focus on you always. Like, and don't be discouraged, because if they don't respond to you today, 2 years from now, if your brand is huge, and camming, doing other things where like you're introducing yourself into the community through other avenues, going to events and networking, looking up the conventions, renting booth spaces if you can, start mingling and interacting with people. And it's a business. It's just like a networking of any other kind of business. You can do the groundwork and put it in. People want this easy, fast solution, and there isn't one necessarily. So it's like, put in the work, and then you can reap the benefits, hopefully.
No, it's just, it's tons and tons of hard work.
Tons.
And above all else, it's probably the second most important thing I'll say. Above all else, be consistent. You have to post on a regular basis. Like, I will routinely see people on Twitter, oh, sorry, I haven't posted anything in a month, but now I'm back. You have to assume that for the vast majority of people, if they are subscribed to your page and they don't see any update for 2 weeks,
They're gone.
they're gone. And the thing is, they're never coming back,
No.
ever.
No.
I
And
mean, think about it like when a restaurant pissed you off. Do you ever go back to it again or do you
No.
find a new one?
No. And it's so competitive, like, too. Like, if you can get them potentially relatively easily, depending on how you play your cards. Keeping them, retention, is a whole different story. Like, it's incredibly difficult to retain the, and that's why even if you look at some of these headline grabbing creators like the celebrities, they made X amount of money the first month. It starts to go down, because like for whatever reason, And the thing is just like people get bored. Even if you are like consistent, like they're like, eh, I want to see something else. Or, it's just not doing it for me anymore. Like maintaining a level of consistency is difficult too. You really have to like always be thinking out of the box and changing things and creatively it's a lot to try to handle, because you have to constantly be adapting too to what they want, what they need, what have they seen already? Is this working? Was it working? How long can I play this out until they get bored and then they want to go somewhere else? So, you have to, there's a bunch of things to it. It's a really the formula of trying to figure it out. But being consistent in your posting is 100%. Just keep at it. Don't get frustrated. Just keep going with it. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a month. There are people that have been doing it for, it took years. you know? Like, even with me, like, my building my Instagrams, like, took years. And, like, and I did modeling and, like, networking for 2 or 3 years before I even tried to enter into mainstream. So, you know, yeah, you have to be realistic about that, too. It's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice to of time and everything else to try to put the groundwork in to do it. So,
yeah, but also, though, one thing, well, two things. First thing, I don't want people, because one mistake I see a lot of people make is they're like, oh, I need to get a certain amount of followers before I right. make my own answer, before I make. No, you don't. Yeah. Even if you have 10 followers right now, you can still make your OnlyFans.
Yes.
Just let them both grow at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And number two, like with the consistency, there was this article I read about Jenna Jameson, and for whatever, it just really clicked. But she was being interviewed, and she said that when she retired, she had like 3 to 5 years of content built up
mm-hmm.
in her backlog, and I remember, and I was like, that's exactly what I need to do.
Yes.
And right now, I'm at like about 1.5 years of content.
Yeah.
So I could not shoot content for the next year. Year and a half. I'd still have new shit to post every single week.
Yeah.
And you need to work towards that because you don't want to be in a position where it's like, oh shit, it's Saturday and I have to have something to post on Sunday.
Right.
I've been there.
No, you don't want to be in that position. That's why, like, even before you launch your page, having that plan for what you are going to be posting, when, what, and I would say at least a month, like minimum a month out. Usually, I would recommend like 2 or 3 would be a more ideal
month.
But like, and that's legitimately like to have, because you never know, you know. So what if somebody wants that scene pulled? Then you don't have content, and people will leave. They will go find other things to do. So, you know, you want to keep it as consistent as possible, but you do want to be prepared. You want to have the stockpile of content, like, ready to go if you need it. So it's definitely having the storage of content is a good thing to do, for sure.
And one other thing you said that I really just wanted to reiterate was don't get discouraged. Like, I would say 50% of the time that I reach out to another performer, I won't get a response yeah. back. But I don't take it personally.
Mm-mm.
Because, you know what? They could have opened it while they were at the gym and then completely respond to it. They could have dropped dead.
Yeah,
their you know, wife or husband could be sick. There's a million reasons why they didn't respond. They have nothing to do with me.
Yes.
At all.
100%. Don't ever be discouraged. Like I said, and even, you know, people, we're busy. Or, like, people have things to do. They have lives. Everyone does. Everyone has something going on. They have kids. They have, you know, dogs. They have whatever is happening. Like, they have other things going on. So don't ever be discouraged. Like, don't take things personally. I think that's a big thing, too. Like, it's hard because, like, the acts that we perform are so intimate and personal that then, therefore, I think people take things more personally often. But don't. You'll learn, like, not to take things personally. Like, it's not personal. And there's a lot, you know, people are busy with being booked out, too. I mean, it's overwhelming sometimes when, like, if you're a popular creator, you're going to be busy and more booked. And, like, sometimes people don't want to tell you that they're booked out for months, you know? And I feel bad. I've had, like, conversations with people that are like, I've been trying to work with you forever, and it just doesn't work out, you know? And it's like, sometimes it just happens that way. But eventually, you know, if people want to work with you, they'll reach back out. They'll circle around. If you've had a good rapport with someone and you planned on working with them, you can always reach back out, give it some time. You know, respectfully, like, hey, I'm just circling back around to see if you were still interested. But if someone's just like flat out not responding to you, don't blow them up. Don't send them
up. Oh, God. Yeah.
And like, because then you're going to, that's a good way to get somebody to never, ever, ever shoot with you. So,
I have lost count of how many times that has happened to me,
oh,
where someone will say like, "Oh, hey, do you want to shoot together?" And then because I don't respond fast enough, it'll be like, "Fine, fuck you then. You're ugly. Hello? Question mark, question mark." And it was like, I'll sit down and be like, "Actually, I was totally happy to shoot with you until I saw everything that came after that. Now I'm just gonna assume you're psycho."
And that's the thing too, is like if you see stuff like that, run as
Yes.
fast as you can. Because like you're not obligated to work with literally anyone. You know, this especially with what we do. Not obligated to. You can choose who you want to work with. So don't let people like be with that weird pressure or anger if you're not responding. Like
Yeah.
that's a red flag and a half. And there are a lot of people you have to, you know, understand. This is the perfect industry for predators to take advantage of you. It is,
Yep.
you know. So just be mindful of that. Be aware.
Oh, one, actually, two other things. Number one, do not give your legal name out under any circumstance. I don't care how good of a fan someone is. I
No.
don't care.
Yeah, no.
Fuck no. Hell no.
No.
Number two, if you are going to go down this road, I cannot stress enough, you can monetize anything. You
Anything.
can post
Anything.
you doing the dishes naked. You can post you showering. You can post yourself, working on drywall naked.
Yeah.
People actually enjoy that
They
shit.
do. Yeah. And that's it. Like, everything doesn't have to be like the perfect lingerie overproduced. Like I said, I used to do that. Like, had to be head to toe in like the most expensive lingerie and like make it this like glam experience and high level production, when it's like if you work out naked or ride your stationary bike naked, or like you said, like cooking, brushing your teeth, do anything. Like you can turn your daily routine, like to be like, I have no one to shoot with this week, be like, I'm gonna just do a daily routine of what I do naked every day, you know, or like working out, all these things. Like you can make that a lucrative experience. And also you can sell a lot of things that you didn't think that you could. Like for example, I sell my hair, like extensions. If I take my
Believe
hair out, I sell that. Your bath water, different, like there's all kinds of things. Used, you know, used clothing items is a huge thing. Socks, underwear, things like that. But even like creatively, like just be like, oh, you know what? Like maybe I won't throw away that toothbrush that I used. And then in that video that I posted, you can turn everything into an opportunity to make
Yeah.
money off of it too. Because people will be like, oh, that I want that toothbrush actually. You know, it's like, and it sounds ridiculous, but it's like, it's not. People want that intimate connection with you, especially if you offer things that are like one of a kind. That, you know, and selling like Polaroids, I would recommend. I like the Polaroids are unique. People like that intimate, you know, moment from you. There's a lot of things that you can do to try to monetize on your thing. But like I said, if you don't have anybody to shoot with, do some creative stuff around your house. It's easy to do. It's just a breath.
Agreed.
So
Old is he?
this one,
Or she?
he's 5 months,
Okay, I was gonna
but
say.
he like we have a separation anxiety. So if I leave him anywhere, it sounds like he'll scream like he's a child, and like it sounds like a child screaming. So I can't leave him anywhere. So we're working on it. I was like, I hope he just like grows out of it at some point. Usually,
I would get a shock collar or a bark collar.
yeah, something where you need something.
No, the bark collar will detect if
If
he's
they're
barking.
whining, yeah, it
No.
should. That's what I
Yeah,
need.
because I have a year and a half old schnauzer,
Oh yeah.
and he used to do the same thing. Second, you put him in his crate in a room by himself,
Oh,
screaming to high heaven.
scream. Yeah. He screams like literally, like, you know, like a child. It's like just, it's great. Like they're being like tortured to death, you know? And I'm like, yeah, you're manipulative. So, got it.
Is there anything you can think of that we didn't cover? Because I think we
covered got a pretty good amount in there. You know, if there's things that we think of, we can always revisit and maybe do a second, like a follow-up. Or, like, if people have questions to this. Because I think we hit a lot of it, if not all of it, you know, out of the park for the most part. Because, you know, people, it's annoying with, like, stuff like this. People will be like, I really want, just, like, tell me what you did exactly so I can follow it. And who to talk to. What is their number? You know, what's your number? Like, I need to do. And it's like, you can only give people the tools. But I think that those are really... really, really good tools that we've given them. So I think it's great. You know, really, really well. So
no, yeah, I think we covered anything. And if there was anything we didn't cover that you guys wanna know, let us know down below in the comments. We'll answer that. And if someone
we always respond to comments and stuff too. Like I know I'm more than I'd rather somebody reach out wanting information, you know, to try to help them than feeling discouraged. And we'll always offer our like honest opinions too. So please feel free to reach out in the comments and if you guys have
questions. And if someone wants to find your content or you on social media, where can they find you?
I am on all platforms at The Misha Montana, and The Misha Montana is on every single one, like we talked about. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, The Misha Montana, and then also MishaMontana.com.
Hey guys, just want to say thank you for watching this video. And if you did really enjoy it, I just wanted to mention there are two ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are three little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button. And on the left-hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are three different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord, and I personally answer that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about, and unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the Dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.